So today I want to welcome Brother Phil. He is Chief Phil Lane Jr., a member of the Yangtan Dakota and Chickasaw First Nations, and is an internationally recognized leader in human and community development. And during the past 52 years, he has worked with indigenous people in North, Central, and South America, in Micronesia, Southeast Asia, India, Hawaii, and Africa. He served 16 years as an associate professor at the Faculty of Education at the University of Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada. And I speak now from Germany to Brother Phil in Canada. Welcome, and I'm so honored and excited to have you here.
Yes, and I'm so, so also thankful to be able to visit with one of our great relatives of the great nation of Germany. So to begin with, sister, I wanted to share this song. It was given to me by George Whirlwind Soldier back in the early 1970s. And I love this song because it really connects it all together about what we're talking about. So it says, Wayankie Chinupa Kile Wakanyelo. But saying is, behold, it was called upon the powers of this universe to behold. The pipe is sacred. It means the bowl, which is the feminine dimension of life. It's also the earth, the water, the earth itself. And then, of course, it says, by singing that, Chinupa Kile Wakanyelo, it says also the stem, the male dimension, of course, you bring these together. It's creation of life. So it's the plant people, that spirit of growth, they're sacred. And then you always have representation of the animal people, eagle wing or whatever. So, it's also, they have the power of the senses. We also honor them. But then when you take that pipe and turn it upwards like this, you'll see it's kind of, here's the end, right? Here's where you pull. If you stand it up this way, that's the human being. We're all that, you see. So that we have the spirit and power of unity and of the mineral people. In fact, we are mainly the mineral people. And we have the power of growth like the plant people. And we're symbiotic. They breathe in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen. We breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide. All those, relationships. As well, we have the power of the senses like the animal people. That's why we were able, and many indigenous people, really, I'm sure everywhere on Mother Earth, you have these little things. Animals act a certain way. It means certain weather will come because of the tympanum in the ear. That little tiny tympanum, that little tiny eardrum, is sensitive. And so the horses will move in a certain way and so forth. So we have that. But then we have what we call our the soul, I guess people call it, Najee, soul. This is that part that transcends time and space. This is this part that's mysterious. This is this part we just see little parts of. It's manifested. But this is the part that's really now in the process of, and there's no power in heaven or earth will stop that from happening. Here's that song. Payankie Chanupa kile wakayelo wayankie.
Thank you so much, Brother Phil, and also for this nice prayer you spoke at the beginning. And I really would like to give you the opportunity to share your perspective on what is really important on an individual level and also in our society. In this special time of, you could call it a crisis, and you could call it also a big chance, a big opportunity, we are all in, whether we are actively engaged in or not, or more conscious or not. It's something happening for all of us.
Absolutely. You know, there's sacred prophecies of Indigenous people across the Americas and around the world, of other Indigenous peoples and of other more known prophecies from other spiritual traditions that are global, that talk about this coming of a heaven on earth, this new day. And I think that in the, for those of a Christian background, I think they repeat this in their Lord's Prayer: "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." On earth as it is in heaven. And so, as I see it, we are one human family. I think it's a basic thing we're coming to understand. We know it scientifically, biologically, every way, in a scientific way, we are one. We're 99.9% the same. Every one of us has a capacity to speak every language in the world if we were raised in that culture or that language. Every one of us can come together, and children of different backgrounds can come from this love we have as human beings together. We can take different physical organs from different people from different places of the world and exchange those. You know, other than superficial things like eye color, the size of our nose, skin color, and those things, we're really, in a biological sense, in a physical sense, one. But on a spiritual sense, we also know that we are one. And it's so interesting to me, for instance, Black Elk, who was one of our great, great visionaries, and if anybody really wants to understand more his visions, Black Elk Speaks is one of the great, great books that was written, that was translated from the Lakota language into English, and really gives his vision of this universe in many ways. It kind of, in, it's not like a science, reading a scientific book, but all of a sudden you'll come on to statements like, the center of the universe is everywhere. Right? No, the center of the universe is everywhere. Now, of course, with quantum physics, they're discovering that everything has within them pixels. And pixels, no matter where the pixel is, it's one with all the pixels. They're only one pixel, although they appear in many different places. So we're literally one. I mean, we know now that, for instance, the speed of light is not the fastest that energy is traveling. We're instantaneously, all of us, connected together. So again, we can understand why the hurt of one is the hurt of all. Because everything, that means all life. But the honor of one, the uplifting of one, is the uplifting the honor of all. The healing of one is the healing of all. So we're intimately connected. And I think this is where we are coming as a human family. And if we can think about it, even as a child, because on an individual basis, we go through many of these same stages as humanity's gone through in a collective sense. So we have that part, and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, even, and she looked in the whole process of death and dying, she defined the same thing, as did Carl Jung, as we have in our medicine wheel. It's a similar, very similar understanding. So, and when we begin our life in this world, we begin as infants, in our infancy. We're pure in terms of our experience in this world. We come, in fact, our elders say that each of us is born a sovereignty, ancient, imperishable, and everlasting. And so that first stage of development is really about establishing ourselves in the physical world. That's the first step. And I'm sure it was the first step of our human family to establish itself in the physical world, you know, to establish itself. Then the next stage, of course, as we move into becoming children, leaving our infancy, is to really, really, in the highest sense, established in the emotional dimension, the emotional world, to learn to love and to be loved. You know, that part of that stage of development. Then we go on to the next stage of our development, which really becomes the focus of developing the intellect. All right. So we've developed the intellect. Now, the intellect is very interesting. We can think about it in the day we live in, at the stage we're going through now. The intellect without the spiritual becomes a Frankenstein. So like this elder told me, he said, you know, Takoshi, I said, grandson, you're never going to solve the problems before you solely through the intellect. The intellect is a great, great gift the Creator's given us. A great gift. But for every problem it solves, it creates 10 more. That's the nature of the intellect. And so the intellect has this capacity to produce incredible technologies. I mean, things we just couldn't even believe. They can be used, though, they're used, though, by the values we have. And the values we have is where we put our energy. So values are where we put our energy. So if I could say, oh, I love the outdoors, I value the outdoors, but my values is what I spend my time doing. But anyway, so we come to that stage. Then, of course, from that stage, we become into the development of our spiritual being. We become elders as we go. So all of a sudden, for myself, I can look over here and I say, yeah, there I began as an infant. I can see my whole journey, infancy, childhood, adolescence, adulthood, you know, and then finally an elder and then going on, you know. So I can see. And then you also understand what it means from childhood to childhood. And that's a great one too, because we're making our journey and really coming back to the fundamental understanding. When we were born, we just were one with all. We were just one with all. To us, all of it was us, right? Right? We were all one. And so here in that journey, we've come back and we're coming to that same state again, but at a different level. And a more of a now an awareness, a conscious awareness that we're coming to that. And beyond. And so I think that the best way I can kind of, from my understanding, and my dad always said, you know, son, if something is true, everybody should be able to understand it. And so I think we can, this is just kind of a basic, simple thing of understanding cycles and how everything moves in a cycle. And of course, I see this as an upward cycle. It's going up. And we see, you know, many similar tests and difficulties that we all have, and yet we all share ways through these archetypes, these stories we have in our backgrounds, you know, that Jung named them archetypes. We see them as the stories from the foundation of life. Mm-hmm. We share those very similar. I mean, for instance, the symbol of a circle. If you see children all over the world, that's one of the first symbols they make. And also the symbol of a tree. A tree is also another universal, you might say, archetype we share or symbol we share together as a human family. And so as I see it, we're coming now out of our adolescence as a human family. And you can, you know, as adolescents, because of all these huge change going on in them, and they're literally changing, you know, just like we see the change from an infant, a newborn infant, to a child of 7 or 8, right? And then all of a sudden we see this incredible, incredible change that happens when we become young adults. And all of a sudden, you know, all these hormones begin pouring into our systems and we go through incredible change. And again, I don't believe in a healthy, healthy, healthy community necessarily. Going through adolescence has to be such a painful, you know, process in which people are saying, oh, well, you know, they are way worse than we were when we were younger, you know, this whole thing that goes on. Mm-hmm. Or let me say, mm-hmm. or this idea somehow that that by older people that somehow the younger people's generation is just not quite as great as ours. Well, the fact is they're in their own generation, and each generation is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. At least that's how we see it as Dakota and other indigenous people. We see the fact that we want most of all to see our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, all generations are coming after us, to go way further than us. That's the prayer, to go further than us. I mean, that has to be, and I know there's run into people who are jealous of their own children, who are somehow critical of their own children, you know, in which they, it's just, you know, if a person has 10 bad qualities and one good, look at the good. If a person had 10 good qualities and one bad, look at the good.
And Brother Phil, I'm really happy that you kind of really highlight that. And I want to just go a bit back because, you mentioned really this, we are all one. We are connected. We are 99.9% the same. And some only have that maybe, intellectually. And they miss the experience. And I'm just a really, I'm such a fan of having the experience, because when I have something experienced, it's a deeper knowing. It's, and I'm really interested in what would you say from your experience, what supports people to really bring this from a concept really into the body or into the heart as a felt experience? Because my sense is on a big scale, we lack this.
First of all, it's really important to have good elders around you and to seek out elders. And they don't have to be some famous elder. They can, you know, if they've found happiness and joy, if you see a happy and joyful elder, an elder that might have arthritis, might be barely walking with her cane, but always has a beautiful smile on their face and on good words to say, that's an elder to visit with. That's an elder to talk with, because we all need that guidance. And because, you know, when we had this big meeting of elders in 1962, and we spent 4 days and literally four nights, the last night, all night long in prayers, ceremonies, to launch what we call the Four Worlds International Institute, which it eventually came to be, but this whole movement for healing of indigenous people. What they told us was this: this universe we live in is organized according to certain natural laws. These physical and spiritual laws are inseparably connected. So the physical laws, you need to understand, you drive a car 100 miles an hour into a concrete wall, you get smashed up. You drink a glass of arsenic, you drink a glass of arsenic, you're going to get a stomachache. You know, if you jump off a 10-story building on your head, you'll get a headache. I mean, that's just the physical laws that all of us interact with. At the same time, underlying and intimately connected but separate from this energy are the spiritual laws. Spiritual principles, you know, development comes from within. Others can help and assist, but it must emerge from the individual, the family, the community, and so forth. No vision, no development. A vision of possibility is what is like a magnet that draws us forth towards our potentiality. So we have these natural laws. And so I think the first thing that is so important to understand, because this opens all kinds of doors, is just like you have to have food to feed this physical body, is to understand we're spiritual beings as well. In fact, the spiritual dimension of us is eternal, is a sovereignty, ancient, imperishable, and everlasting. So here we are, we feed the physical body, but we also have to feed the spiritual body. And the spiritual dimension goes beyond the world of time and space and the murmur of syllables and sounds. It's a space between the thought. So one thing that I found really helped me was as a young boy, I was taught to have conversations with this higher power, whatever you want to call it, to know that our ancestors are all around us. You know, they're here, closer than our closest vein. And that I can through prayer in my own way. Each person has their own. Sometimes the best way maybe is to find something that you feel really expresses what's in your heart. Look around for it and read it if the words don't seem to come. But this ability to communicate with your higher self, you could call it, with the higher beings, with the Creator, with Lord Jesus, with Lord Krishna, with Lord Muhammad, with Lord Buddha, with Lord Baha'u'llah, whoever it is, the white buffalo Catholic for us, you know, and the peacemaker who walked and created really the foundations for the United States of the indigenous nations long before they thought of the United States came about, because they drew this from the Iroquois. So I would say that there's the whole thing of learning to meditate one way or the other. Meditation is very important. 1 hour's meditation is worth 100 years of pious worship. You know, we just go up and down worship. You know, that, you know, and I think that being able, and whatever you may call it, that really, because it transcends the murmur of syllables and sounds. And it's really, I think about this. I think, you know, in coming in contact with this higher power, we can, especially, you know, in looking at the simple systems of humanity, the ones that we mediate our experiences. Of course, in the physical world, we know that it's mathematics that relates. We can relate all the physical world through mathematics in every form. Between us, it's a written and spoken language, an unspoken language. We communicate, right, together. Okay. Now, the communication, how do we communicate with the unknown? Well, I believe it's through the arts in their highest forms, the arts. You know, you go to an incredible symphony, you know, some people, they feel that. There's something they feel beyond themselves. Or you come to a Sundance and they go through, they're just finishing one of the Sundances here that my son leads. And so they've been up there praying, you know, for all these days and preparing themselves. But they're praying for everybody in this everywhere spirit. You know, so that it's affecting everybody there, here, everywhere, because they're putting out this prayer. They're going without food and water. So people everywhere might be uplifted. So I think it's important to know that as well, that each of us, each one of us, through our prayers, literally, that it's like how, and people ask themselves, well, how can a prayer cause something to happen way over here? Or how can a prayer cause something to manifest, really? It's a prayer, sitting here together, the two of us and all of us together. Well, the thing is that we're through this everywhere spirit, through these, you might say, we're right together all at once anyway. And so we know by projecting in a good way and calling upon and becoming one with this power of life and seeing the very highest for all people and seeing people healthy and well and healed. This has a power that can reach out across countless distances, because what we know now is that the center of the universe, what he's talking about, is everything in this, everywhere. Now that's pretty broad. And the other thing that's so interesting I've found in this process, and I think that's, we're going to find this as a human family, when all of a sudden we come to this place where it's beyond almost imagination. And I want to be sure to share, I won't get into it now, we started writing in 2012 a living document called Prophecies, Dynamic Change, and a New Global Civilization. And every year since 2012, now we're celebrating it, now we're coming to 2019, and we just concluded the next, you might say, step forward in these prophecies and the fulfillment of these prophecies and where it's going in 2050, 2030. This is where the prophecies also go. So we have the prophecies that talk about this time of enlightenment. this time of illumination, this time we will begin to step into our full spiritual enlightenment. And most of all these prophecies talk about a period that a day that shall not be followed by night, that'll last 1,000 years. And they talk about this beginning of our spiritual destiny that's being manifested. And so that's why I like to look at these past 500 years that happened here in the Americas, where literally, in some estimates now are 108 million, 100 million, then it went to 108 million. There were that many human beings living in the Americas prior to the arrival of our relatives from Europe. Now, the way I figure it is the world is round. If the world is round, and you know, humans have this part of us want to know more, that makes it part of our humanity. You know, not everybody, some do, some don't, but sooner or later, you know, we would have all come together and get to know each other sooner or later. In fact, there were many people already traveling here from China and from other places, from Europe, prior to 1492. So here we are, we've come together. And it's amazing to me that what's even further spurring this conscious evolution. If one of the things that's really exciting is out of the 7.5 billion human beings we have, more than 50% are under 35 years old. And this is the prophecy we have of the coming of the seventh generation. There's this thing about the seventh generation decision making. And you got to think about when you make a decision, it's good for seven generations. But there's also the prophecy that at this time of great, great change, this time of great challenge, this seventh generation, this the young people are being born now, you know, up to 35 on up, you know, this whole generation that's coming, is coming, you might say, carrying a whole new stage of our development.
How can we as elders support this younger generation to really empower them? I mean, you mentioned already this really powerful inner attitude of looking what is good, and emphasizing this, then kind of looking on criticizing things, yeah? So, but I guess there are some more actions and inner attitudes which we could take to really empower this generation.
Yes, yes. If I may, let me just finish real quickly. So our purpose, as I see it in this life, is to grow our spiritual arms and legs and eyes and ears. That is our spiritual qualities and capacities. So to become more loving, more kind, more compassionate, more forgiving, more courageous, more, in balance, in harmony. Okay. So that is the purpose here of our journey in this earth suit. It's not about the earth suit. It's not about feeding the senses. It's about developing a whole capacity. And that's why I think it's so important to it's interesting to see that science now is beginning to bump up against the spiritual dimension. For instance, they measure now when we're talking to each other, our brain waves. Then they watch as we go through the four stages of moving towards REM sleep. As we go down, 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 we see the intensity of these waves reduce. And all of a sudden, when we hit REM sleep, we have more brain activity going on than we have when we're awake. Now that means it can't be coming from any senses. It can't be coming, our eyes, you know, we're asleep. We can't hear people come in the room. We can't smell smoke. We're dead to the world. And yet within us is going on some activity that connected to brain waves, activity going on inside of us more than when we're awake. Of course, that's what science calls a paradox. So I was to say that our purpose is to grow our spiritual arms and legs and eyes and ears. And I think it's very important that we include in these discussions these seventh generation leaders. One I can really suggest to you is Lila June Johnson. She is Navajo, Cheyenne. I can send her In fact, you can see some videos about her, some of her music and so forth. But I think getting some of these young people, another one would be Tony Lane Casserly, 28 years old, blockchain, cryptocurrency, you know, called the Joan of Arc of Bitcoin, but have her speak. It's amazing the capacity of understanding these very things we're talking about. You'd think someone, but it takes that kind of understanding to really manifest things in this world. It's this understanding of oneness, this understanding of this interconnectedness. The other thing I would say, ceremony has helped me greatly spiritually. And you can find, depending where you are, you can be very careful, but you know, there's always spiritual circles. You know, I would, you know, always walk the spiritual path of practical fiat. I can't say this because somebody says they're spiritual, they're spiritual. But you know, there's ceremonial processes, and I know that I like Sufi dancing, for instance. Any kind of dancing, I love to dance. I believe dancing is one of the expressions of arts. And if it's done in a way where you're, you know, really, in a way praying, I mean, if you're completely enter that state of oneness and releasing, I think that's that we need to touch that. I think the more we can increase interfaith, communication is so important. Because unless those that believe there is a higher power, and that their teacher was exhibited the qualities we should as a human being to be kind and loving, compassionate, and so forth, until we have unity there, there can never be world peace. I mean, you know, of anybody that can manifest this new consciousness, it's coming. I would say that's what we're doing right here. I mean, we don't have to talk about I'm this or I'm you or that, or we're all who are here or this and that. We're human beings, each of us bringing together the very best we can so we can fulfill those sacred prophecies and understand that sacred teaching that says, my first counsel is this, possess a pure, kindly, and radiant heart, that yours may be a sovereignty, ancient, imperishable, and everlasting.
Beautiful. And Brother Phil, you also mentioned the importance of really holding a vision together. And I just wonder whether you want to share with us, in your perspective, how would that vision look like, and how can we kind of tune in and join to really enliven kind of this vision and bring it down to the earth?
Yes. Well, I believe, from what I understand from the prophecies, this is my interpretation, that we're going to more and more intensely go forward into more and more challenges. My immediate vision is that we have a great global storm that's growing in intensity. Unprecedented violence, but unimaginably glorious in its ultimate outcome. This will continue until we, the members of the human family, wake up and decide we cannot travel this path anymore. That you value your children as much as I value my child. That you feel and love and care just as much as I do, no matter what your eye color is, no matter what your skin color is, no matter if you're a female, a male, transgender, whatever, however we identify ourselves, that we are one in the essence of our spiritual being, in our foundation. Because I think it's more than just the unity of the human family. It's the prior unity we've been one from the very beginning. We have been in the same seed together, all of us. Mm. Now that might seem, that might seem this is just too much, but just think about again how tiny, 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 tiny we were when we started this journey, and look at us. Who would have ever known? But we've been able to see these cycles and processes. So what I see in the future, I believe that we'll come to a place where all of humanity will realize it's time to put down our weapons. This is what I call the lesser peace. This is where we decide no more. Now, what is going to bring us to that? Then that's something we have to ask ourselves. What's it going to take for us to understand that we start a nuclear conflict or whatever here will be, you know, and maybe it may take that. I don't know. It may take the realization that Greenland is going to melt, and it's going to. And when it does, and the scientists, it doesn't make any difference if you're a climate scientist or you're for whatever, or could be both together. It doesn't make any difference. But the fact is Greenland is going to increase sea level by 4.2 to 7.5 meters, something like that. Now, just think just that by itself, whatever. But there's many things unexpected yet to come. Mm-hmm. I don't believe this is a doom and gloom. I think this is an awakening process. Okay, as we awaken, arms go down. But then we're going to have to find a way for us to live together as citizens of Mother Earth in a way that's just and respectful to all our, you know, unique cultural ways and languages and so forth. I would say this. I think we need to retain all mother tongues of all languages on Mother Earth. They need to be retained. We have that capacity. We also have a capacity if we come to an agreement in which I think we'll be realizing, you know, why we're all on this one planet here together on this one Mother Earth. Why all this competition? And so I think we'll decide and it'll just naturally come. There'll be a world language. And I think that I'm not sure. It may be English, like yours, like here we are. In Germany, speaking English. I don't know. I mean, I'm not the one to do that. But you know, now computer language, a lot around English. It may be. Whatever it is, in the future, 100 years ago, the politics, it'll be forgotten. It'll just be this, you know, you'll be able to have the beauty of German, speaking German, sharing it, all the incredible stories, the richness. Just think of all those rich things in German culture, stories and things that are untold. Like, it's so incredible. And so we'll be able to have a world script that we'll be able to share all those things, and everybody will be able to share on that level. At the same time, we'll be able to have our own unique and retain our uniqueness, and that'll be understood. So we can be in all are all indigenous people and understand it, because we were all at one time sitting before the same sacred fire. There's not anybody on anybody anywhere on this Mother Earth that all of a sudden ended up in a penthouse in some city in some place on Mother Earth. We all began there. That's our beginning. And I think that's what we're coming back to.
Yeah, and when I listen to you, I really also get that although we might face really major challenges, what could really support us in staying connected to this, yeah, in prayer and staying connected to our fundamental connectedness and also our goodness, I would say really staying connected to our goodness in the heart, because when we ask people in different nations, different cultures, we all, what we all want to be and have is being in peace together, in happiness, where we freely can share, as you said, our culture, our traditions, our skills, what really touches our heart. And this we all have in common. And my sense is to kind of staying connected to that maybe gives us all the capacities we need to face and to move through these challenges.
Yes. And I believe that from this, this will be agreed, no more war. And we're talking about trillions upon trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars or marks or euros. I guess it's not marks anymore, euros or whatever it is. We're talking that's there for other things, developing the perfections of the spirit, of the arts, of the mind, of health and healing. I mean, at the same time, this technology, and some people are frightened of it, but if there was justice, if everybody had equal opportunity to universal education, it's not the fact that more menial work is being taken over by robots and so forth, artificial intelligence, that is going to free us to explore and to uplift and to realize that in our sovereignty, ancient and perishable and everlasting, it'll be unthinkable not to share with others. It'll be unthinkable to have another human being, or having 2 billion human beings right now without clean water to drink. I mean, and how many children, especially women, are really, in a way, in really base servitude? I mean, this is something that I really, it's going to take awakening of the spirit to do this. But that will be, and there will be a universal system of weights, measure, and currency. We see it happening with cryptocurrency and blockchain. Blockchain is making it so you can't cheat anymore because it's all recorded. You know, all this fraud and embezzlement, these we're now developing technologies if used in a good way. Because again,
I guess it's the same with everything. You can use a knife for good and for harm. You can use medicine to heal. You can use medicine to poison. So it's with everything. It's kind of with which intelligence and integrity and sensitivity we just use things. This is absolutely how we can, this is kind of also our responsibility and our way, how each one of us can contribute to make something better or worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we know that as well, that there'll be a global parliament of a form. I don't know if we call it a parliament because then people get that confused with colonialism. But there will be the emergence that respects, by the way, this is not some, again, I think that that this is not about some secret elite all of a sudden emerging and taking over, and all of us becoming slaves. You know, this is not about one nation like the United States becoming the overlord of everything. This is not, the kind of Armageddon kind of process. This is about truly the emergence of a new global civilization, a heaven on earth, which the foundation is justice. And guiding principles are like no participation, no development. So it has to be participatory. Everybody. Now it's interesting that now, I was just down at the CLEAR Foundation in Salt Lake City this last week. And I was looking and seeing the new technologies they have. These new technologies for building community, for filtering out from your homes, things that you don't want there, you know, of how, you know, a lot of things are just there to try to sell you things. Anyway, to see these innovations that are going on, it's just amazing around the world. But they're really moving towards helping us come together in community, you know, helping us, how do we truly all have access to health? You know, all these things, it's all there. You know, it's just us deciding, hey, why don't we do this together? You know, I think about the incredible things that are developing over in China, the things that are developing in Russia, the things that are developing in Europe, the things that are developing in Africa, in South America, here, Australia, New Zealand, everywhere. All these good things. Why are we not cooperating and trying to do this? I mean, there's enough for everybody here. I mean, why are we wasting all this battling each other for market share? You know, I believe, but again, why? Because we're not yet prepared here spiritually. Because we have to have the virtues and the moral values.
Yes.
The values. So we have to ask ourselves, okay, what are our values, really, truly values in terms of what we're using this incredible gift of the internet? Well, from what I understand, 60% of the internet's about pornography. Okay. Now, maybe I might be a little bit high or I might be low or whatever, but it's significant. It's all about pornography and access to pornography. So you can say that, oh, I'm this or that, but if the value of your society, which we can measure by how you're valuing and what you're putting money into, actually, is pornography. Now, if we look at what's the biggest way, what we value most in the world, that is what we put the most value on, that is put the most energy into, the most money into, is war, armaments. And then, of course, you have drugs and alcohol, another dimension. I'm not saying everybody, you know, they might enjoy having a glass of wine with this, but I'm talking about the abuses of this. It's about deadening who we are. And so we can just go on. But though that's the transformation, I believe those things will be left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Brother Phil, I mean, we are coming to the end of our conversation together, and I could listen to you for many more hours. It's so beautiful to have this opportunity to listen to your wisdom. But I want to give you the opportunity to take some more minutes where you really ask for support or share whatever you think is really kind of important and necessary right now.
Well, one of the initiatives we could really, really would invite participation is with Lila June Johnson, who's one of our, I think, rising seventh generation global leaders, Howard Vincent, who has an incredible story, Jessica White Eagle, who also has an incredible story about counting coup on sexual abuse, rape, and incest. And so what we're doing is we're going to have a kind of introduction, but we're going to be training talking circle leaders. These will be indigenous-led classes. They'll be open to whoever would like to join. We want to share this gift of talking circles as widely as we can, because we believe it's us speaking together is so, so important. Also, of course, you know, we're involved deeply with Unity Earth and Compassion Games, United Religious Initiative, and other efforts along with Four Worlds. So any support to our Patreon or to any the work we're doing, whether it's just a good prayer, is just as welcome, whether it's a small financial support, whatever, as well to you. I think as well, you know, we've got to help each other,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so if you want to get behind those things you like, maybe you don't have the time to do that in your own life, we're certainly, any support you can provide will be most welcome.
Mm-hmm. And I will also provide all the website links so that it's easy for everyone to find more information. Yeah. And to end our conversation, Brother Phil, would it be possible that you share another prayer with us?
Yes.
Thank you so much that you made this possible, that you took your time, that you contribute your wisdom to this summit. And so I feel really honored, and it makes my heart sing that I have you joining the summit, Brother Phil.
Yes, thank you. And I will get this other material to you. And I really appreciate your support. I really do. It's just very, very, very helpful.
Thank you.